In the name of Jesus, amen. Today's passage consists of an unpleasant exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees regarding the disciples' eating of loaves with common, that is, unwashed hands, and their apparent disregard for what Mark twice calls the tradition of the elders and once the tradition of men. The hostility between Jesus and the Pharisees is palpable, although there is much else about the passage that resists interpretation, such as that detail, for example, that none of the Jews eat unless they wash their hands pugme. It could be translated with a fist. Then there is the long explanation, very much interrupting the narrative flow, about many other traditions the Jews practice, such as the curious washings, baptismus, of cups and pots and bronze vessels, then, some versions add, and washings of beds. Washings of beds? What's going on here? As for the washings, it is perhaps correct to think of the ritual ablutions of the Old Testament, which seem to have pertained to the priests only. In his commentary on Mark's Gospel, Joel Marcus suggests that in their zeal, the Pharisees extended the requirement of hand washing to the laity. Here I quote, "On the theory that every Jew should live as a priest and every Jewish home should become like the temple," end of quote. If you've ever visited a Muslim mosque, you may have some inkling of what these ritual washings required. At the mosque I attended in Richardson, Texas, back during my Baylor days, even Christian infidels such as I were required to discalc and wash ourselves rigorously under the watchful eye of the bath attendant before entering the mosque. Might something like this have been in Mark's mind also when he wrote, "And when they come in from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash"? A real self-scrubbing? Sigmund Freud saw compulsive hand-washing as symptomatic of a deeper guilt for sin. A real scouring with the fist, if you will, an anti-baptism. So, one of the purposes of today's text is to teach the church what is a true worship of God, as opposed to what is merely self-chosen and so pointless or empty. I was astonished to see how often the Lutheran confessions cite Isaiah 29:13, which is quoted in today's text, in just this way. Consider, for example, Article 27 of the Augustana on monastic vows, and here I quote, "Although God's command concerning marriage frees and releases many from monastic vows, our teachers offer still more reasons why monastic vows are null and void. For all service of God that is chosen and instituted by men to obtain righteousness and God's grace without the command and authority of God is opposed to God and the Holy Gospel and contrary to God's command. So Christ himself says, 'In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" End of quote. So the reason why Jesus' disciples did not walk according to the tradition of the elders, to cite the Pharisees' hostile question, was because already then, before our Lord Jesus' death and resurrection, there were deep implications for what it would mean actually to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in the world of that day. And of course, since we continue to hear Jesus' voice in the reading of this scripture here today in chapel, what discipleship means for us in the world of our day. With respect to foods, "There is nothing from outside of a man entering into him that can profane him," Jesus says, "but only those things coming out from a man are what profane the man." When Jesus' disciples wanted greater clarification inside the house, away from the crowds on just this issue, Jesus snapped at them. "Are you also thus without understanding? The reason why the outside things entering in cannot profane the man is because they enter not into his heart," Jesus says, "but only into his belly, and from there, eston aphedrona," which the King James translates into the draught. None of the standard translations I checked have "into the toilet," but that is exactly what the Greek phrase here means, even if translation committees are squeamish on that point. Note the progression of our text. It began as a public confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees on the propriety of ritual hand washing, to a pronouncement before the crowds that nothing outside can profane a man, to an apparently serious conversation between Jesus and the disciples regarding the finer points of what? Food being pooped out of the body into the latrine. That's what. Did I say serious? Here is just one place of many where I think the synoptic Jesus was anything but serious, since the passage seems suffused by a considerable irony. But our Lord Jesus Christ's good work, upon which this bit of bathroom humor rests, has huge implications for us, and in fact for all sinners. Here Mark's Jesus resembles Paul, who, when counseling the Corinthians regarding anything sold in the marketplace, meat market, quipped, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof," citing Psalm 24:1, used as a Jewish mealtime blessing. "So, eat anything sold in the market," counseled Paul, without raising questions of conscience. Which is to say that our dear Lord Jesus Christ, by his bodily incarnation and death for sin, has brought about a forgiving freedom from the enslaving scruples that burden so many, our Muslim and Jewish friends included. For it is from within, out of the heart, that the enslaving passions come: evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within, Jesus says, and these defile the body. But our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross with all these interior sins attached. It was a death for all sinners and for all scruples. And so the harsh self-washings and pointless hand-washings have been changed by our Lord Jesus Christ for his Christians into the gentle waters of baptism. "You have been washed," Paul writes. "You have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. See you at Gemütlichkeit. Amen."